The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And the whole notion of the burn it all down politics of MAGA Republicans continues to be a drumbeat. But. No. Let him go. That's okay. Folks, ignorance knows no boundaries. All right, so we'll pass election reform and make sure no one ever has the opportunity to steal an election again.
So we played the last part of that that clip on Friday's show. Him again talking about which election, I'm not sure, but what Sam pointed out to me this morning is that the heckler, which we didn't play on Friday, the heckler said, "You stole the election," before he came around and said, we're gonna pass election reform so that no one can ever steal an election again. I think the heckler got to him a bit and rattled him somewhat. In any event, it's almost comical, as I say to Sam, and he says to me quite often, the comedy these days practically writes itself. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us here at the start of the week, another week of broadcasting here on KPCG, kpcg.fm. Online. We don't talk about that platform very often, but we have the program there. I think that might be the audio version of the show for our websites. But then over at thetrumpet.com, you can get to the video of our live stream every day. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, takes you to the live stream page, and also to all of the podcasts that we post after the fact. We certainly, as I say, we certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. So on Friday's show, with a more serious note to make here, we talked about the comment that Joe Biden had made on Thursday. He gave that Maryland speech on Thursday as well. But then he also had another meeting with Democratic donors. And this was not on video or audio, but the statement that he made, he said that Trump Republicans or MAGA Republicans, he called them semi-fascists. He says now that Trump's followers are fascist, or at least semi-fascist. This is the direct quote. He says, it's not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins the, I'm going to say something, it's like semi-fascism. So it's not just Trump. They don't want to just raid Trump's home. They want to raid yours as well, if you supported Donald Trump. It's the MAGA Republicans. So Joe Obama and all of their mouthpieces, the media, of course, picked it up and ran with it. All the mouthpieces in the media, they're out there shouting aloud that Trump supporters are semi-fascist. You see the tweets online. Republicans had a problem with that, but certainly the Democrats don't. The Democrats are out there saying, well, that's true. That's true. And we got to call it what it is. They're against freedom. They're against democracy. They're destroying our democracy. This is exactly what you would expect from Antiochus. Here the lid has just been blown off all of this corruption, exposing the tyranny, exposing the treason, exposing the attempted coup. I mean, just the fact that the FBI would call up Facebook and say, hey, sit on that story about Hunter's laptop. As we were discussing after the show we did Friday, that in itself reveals motive. That in itself shows that the FBI and the DOJ, over and above the FBI, it shows that they had a lot riding on the 2020 election. So much so that they had to cover it up. It wasn't just media that covered it up. It was your FBI. So if they did that in order to rig the election, do you think they wouldn't try to cheat on November 3rd? Of course they would. Of course. They tried to rig the election by covering up all the crimes of the Biden family right before the election. But then when it came to November 3rd, everything's squeaky clean. Bill Barr's out there with another interview basically saying it's the FBI that's being persecuted. The FBI, the one that rigged the election, or at least helped to rig the election. Jesse Waters was talking about this last week. How the FBI, that was the title of our Friday show, by the way. And then it might have been his show later that evening. I can't remember. But here again, a lot of the things we've been talking about for quite some time. Obama, Molly Hemingway, she just tweeted this out. We're in the third Obama term. We're in the third Obama term, and it's going about as poorly, even worse with the economy and in both domestic and foreign policy, as the first two Obama terms. It's just horrible what's happening. But America Under Attack tells you a lot about that third Obama term, as I've said in the last several weeks. The book really couldn't be coming out at a better time. Call our operators today. The toll-free number, if you're in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. But here, all of this treason has been exposed, coming from Joe Obama. All the Obama people inside the White House, at the FBI, the DOJ, it's being exposed. And of course, just like you would expect from a demonic movement, they come out and say, you're the fascist. Actually, it's Trump that's leading the movement. It's Trump that's destroying our freedoms. It's Trump who's not in power, who doesn't control the DOJ, who doesn't, his supporters don't even control Congress. Nothing. The White House, none of it. And these delusional people on talk radio or more talking on TV. Talk radio at least has a few conservatives left. But these talking heads go on and on about the semi-fascist comment. This is the French lady the day after the Thursday speech in Maryland. She came out with this as sort of a clarification. But this is clip 10.
What MAGA Republicans have done, and you look at the definition of fascism, and you think about what they're doing in attacking our democracy, what they're doing in taking away our freedoms, wanting to take away our rights, our voting rights. I mean, that is what that is.
Yeah. So by definition, MAGA supporters are fascists. So they get some flack for what he said on Thursday, and then she comes out, they double down. Biden said this in that meeting with Democratic donors. He said, the MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security. They threaten our economic security, as if it's very secure at the moment, the economy. The Fed came out, by the way, and I think it was the AP about the Fed, saying that the Fed is more diverse than it's ever been. Here the economy's in shambles, and they're bragging about diversity. Unbelievable. Biden said, they're a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people. They embrace political violence. Biden says they, the fascists, embrace political violence. You see why they had to create this false narrative from January 6th, because this is after months and months and months of violence, politically motivated violence coming from Antifa, Black Lives Matter. These fascists, they embrace political violence. They don't believe in democracy. In one sense, none of this is surprising. We just have to take it and move on, I guess. But from the beginning, I mentioned that Katie Couric statement. This was right around the time of Joe Biden's fake inauguration. Listen to clip 13.
It's really bizarre, isn't it, when you think about how AWOL so many of these members of Congress have gotten. But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents, and they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
supporter of Trump, you need to be deprogrammed. She said that in January of last year. So that's the way they think. Look, if they can steal the election and not be held to account, they're going to do it that way. They're coming into the midterms, though, and they know that it's going to be a lot harder to cheat their way to victory right across the board. And so many of them now are resorting to trying to set off the spark that will lead to civil war. Here's Biden again from last week, Thursday at Maryland, clip 11.
I respect conservative Republicans. I don't respect these MAGA Republicans. The MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security. They're a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people.
So he respects Liz Cheney, but everybody else in the Republican Party, they're semi-fascists. That's what he said last week. And he got, you know, you can talk about the flack he gets from the conservatives, but he got some high praise from his group, from his side. The New York Times over the weekend, this is from their editorial board. They're leading the way now. Donald Trump is not above the law. It says here, if Attorney General Merrick Garland and his staff conclude that there is sufficient evidence to establish Mr. Trump's guilt on a serious charge, you see, we never hear anything about the charge. Well, I guess we do. The nuclear codes, the espionage, the Records Act, the classified documents. But more specifically, what is the crime? They never talk about that. They just talk about indicting him. They just say he's not above the law. They say he's leading a movement of fascists. It says if they find something to establish Mr. Trump's guilt on a serious charge in a court of law, then they must seek an indictment too. These people really and truly are trying to trigger a civil war. They want war. You go back to the quote in this chapter, and he was right, about the communist infiltration of the United States of America and how it was prophesied. That classic quote from Mr. Armstrong in 1956 where he says about communism that in the end they want to bring down the government by force. It is a war. It's already a political war, but you know where this is leading. It's leading right to the indictment. They're going after, and it's not just Trump. They've made that clear in their statements of late. It's Trump and all of his supporters. Do you really think these well-educated people on the New York Times editorial board, do you really think they're pinning their hopes on the Records Act? Do you think they see this as a serious violation or even a broken law? The president, as has been explained, I'll play a few more of those explanations in just a second about the Mar-a-Lago raid, the fact that the president has tremendous powers with respect to documents in office, coming out of office, and declassification and all those things. If we have time, we'll get into some of that. But in any event, getting back to the trigger that starts the war, that's prophesied, by the way, Ezekiel 4. Getting back to the trigger, listen to what Senator Lindsey Graham, I try as hard as I can not to play clips from Lindsey Graham, but this was one exception. So here's clip 7.
Most Republicans, including me, believes when it comes to Trump, there is no law. It's all about getting him. There's a double standard when it comes to Trump. What happened with Hunter Biden is that the FBI weighed in to make sure a story didn't break for the 2020 election. We now have whistleblowers at the FBI telling Senator Grassley that they were told to slow down and back off Hunter Biden. And I'll say this, if there's a prosecution of Donald Trump for mishandling classified information after the Clinton debacle, which you presided over and did a good job, there'll be riots in the streets.
Riots in the streets. He is right about that. If they're going to go after Trump to prosecute him, to put him in prison for nothing because they can't beat him politically, so you put him in prison, this is Banana Republic stuff. You see, and again, just to point you back to America Under Attack, I know at times we can sound like a broken record, but that verse in 2 Kings 14, warring to recover, says verse 28, this is the book, verse 28 of 2 Kings 14 strongly indicates that Mr. Trump recovers his presidency by some kind of warring This strongly indicates more than just voting. It seems certain to me that this will happen before the next presidential election in 2024. So we just have to begin to brace ourselves for what is prophesied and what could happen very soon. They to show you how demonic the thinking is, there actually are people, Democrats, members of the media, the corporate media, who would rather have civil war than lose an election. That's how strong their grip on power is. They don't want to relinquish that at all. And even the thought of giving away some of that power, this is what makes them come out screaming. That, well, look, they're fascists over there. We got to go after them. And if they can bait them into a confrontation of some time, given that they control all the levers of power, well then, that just gives them an excuse to amass even more power. There was this story last week from the Washington Post. I didn't have time to get to it last week on the show, but it's about, you know, the IRS, and they're adding the 87,000 agents, and of course the IRS has been buying up ammunition, and they're trying to train agents how to use weapons and things. The IRS, the tax service, the people that collect taxes, the tax collectors, they're arming themselves. And this was from the Washington Post. It says the IRS will launch a full security review of its facilities nationwide, according to the commissioner, as congressional Republicans, listen to this, as Republicans and far-right extremists are lashing out at the agency. So you see, in the minds of those at the Post, they're no different than the New York Times editorial board. But Republicans in Congress and the far-right extremists, they're one and the same. They're all fascists, right? It says here, far-right extremists are lashing out at the agency and the new funding it is slated to receive in a massive spending law. It quotes somebody here, says, we see that's out there in terms of social media. Our workforce is concerned about their safety, Reddick told the Washington Post in an interview Tuesday. And then listen to this one. The comments being made are extremely disrespectful to the agency. So this is what qualifies as fascism, basically. If you disrespect the IRS, Americans have disrespected the IRS since the start of it. That's just been the history. But here again, the phantom menace, social media, disrespect, what could happen, how this could explode into violence. No wonder they're arming themselves. They see a boogeyman on every corner. A Trump-supporting, MAGA-supporting boogeyman. They're itching for conflict. They're itching for a fight. And as I've said on this show before, on the other side, those like Lindsey Graham, I mean, he gives the occasional good statement, but on the inside, a lot of weakness, a lot of willingness to surrender. The former Attorney General, Bill Barr, it was under his watch, by the way, that the election was stolen. It was under his watch, by the way, when the FBI was plotting the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. Remember that? That was in 2020. That was when Bill Barr was over the DOJ. It was under his watch when there were something like 14 or 15 FBI agents that were inciting that whole kidnapping and murder plot. He got out of there before January 6th, so we can't pin that on him. But what happened with the Whitmer case was a trial run for what happened in January. So much so that the FBI agent over the region responsible for the Whitmer hoax, he was then moved to the D.C. office. And there's stories coming out now that he not only presided over the January 6th hoax, but now he's also giving direction for the Mar-a-Lago raid. So they use all the same people. And I mean, they're all Obama people. They're all Obama. Listen to this from Jesse Waters. This was, I think, last week, the last show that he had. And again, going back to what Molly Hemingway said, the third Obama term, you're hearing more and more people not only talk about civil war, but they're also talking about how Obama is the one behind it all. All roads lead to Barack Obama. Here's clip 16.
And by the way, the FBI agent, this guy named Bratt, whose signature is on the affidavit, is an Obama donor. So the agent who donated to Obama got a warrant from a judge who also donated to Obama. I think what he's really saying is Bill Clinton can lose the nuclear football, Hillary can get hacked by the Russians, and my family can leave computers and diaries all over the place, but Trump has to keep the letter Obama left him at the White House at Fort Knox. And if he doesn't, he's a spy. Here's what Obama had to say about Hillary's excuses, remember?
What I also know, because I handle a lot of classified information, is that there's classified and then there's classified. There's stuff that is really top secret, and there's stuff that is being presented to the president or the secretary of state that you might not want on the transom or you know, going out over the wire, but is basically stuff that you could get in open source.
So since it's Trump, the stuff is classified. Everybody knows what's going on here. Trump declassified a bunch of Russiagate documents, and the FBI wants them back. There's also probably other stuff in there the Democrats don't want to get out. So this was a cleanup job, plus a fishing expedition, because they took anything that wasn't nailed down. And they have to be sniffing around for January 6 goodies, and they'll probably find something to frame them with, you know, say they found the P-tape. But they can't verify anything because, you know, it's classified.
That was from his show on Friday with that little clip. Well, again, just look at what he said about the cleanup job. The Russiagate documents that Trump had, that Trump declassified. But Bill Barr and the ones that followed him, they wouldn't release it. They wouldn't release it to the public. They wanted to put a lid on all that because it exposes Obama. It's meant to clean it up. It's meant to cover it up. That's what he's saying there. And just like the Mueller investigation, they unleash this three-year attack where they attack Trump on the one hand and they're trying to cover their tracks on the other because they know they're being exposed. They know Donald Trump has the goods on him. That's why they want to indict him. That's why they want to prosecute him. It's that and the fact that they can't beat him. They're destroying democracy, even as they say the fascists on the other side are destroying democracy. Listen to some from Attorney General Barr's interview. I think this was from the end of last week as well. This is clip one.
So what do you say to conservatives who say, why should we possibly trust these institutions to prosecute people, let's say, who protested on January 6th, or agents of the state going after a president they so obviously despise? Why should we trust them anymore? You still give them the benefit of the doubt, but many other people in your party don't.
Well, the Russiagate thing, I think, to the extent the FBI was misused, was decisions made toward by high-level officials in the FBI. I don't think that Chris Wray is that type of leader, nor do I think the people around Chris Wray are those types of leaders. I think there are problems in the FBI, but it's not that. It's not that Chris Wray is going to wake up and say, how do I throw the FBI's weight around to interfere in the political process? Just the opposite. I think he's very cautious about that.
They did it, as he has said in other interviews, they did it with the Hunter Biden laptop. Chris Wray was there. Bill Barr was over him at the DOJ. They're guilty. As I say, that in itself reveals their motivations. It shows how much the deep state was riding a Joe Biden victory. Joe Biden had to win. Obama, of course, is the puppet master, as I've been saying, as is pointed out in America Under Attack. I mean, this book just came out this summer, and the opening pages just takes you into a deep dive on Barack Obama's background. Remember how the press, I mean, they swooned, right? But they also said, yeah, he was never really vetted. We never really looked into him because he just spoke like an angel. They never looked into him. He's out there sounding like an angel of light. Well, there's classified, and then there's just classified. But with Trump, I mean, even if it's a napkin with a note on it, he needs to go to prison. Sure enough. Listen, again, here's Bill Barr giving The FBI, the benefit of the doubt, if he goes further than that even, clip two.
You know, something I'm pretty tired of from the right is the constant pandering to outrage and frustrate people's frustrations and picking and picking and picking at that sore without trying to channel those feelings in a constructive direction. In my opinion, Ronald Reagan was a great populist, not because he followed, you know, the frustrated instincts and the outrage of the people, that many people who supported him, but because he channeled it and was constructive about it. So I always say, you know, what's the alternative? We have these institutions that need reform, and the first step is to win an election with a decisive majority that allows you to put a program into effect and deal with some of these problems going forward and fix them. And that is not done by throwing fuel on the fire and of outrage on one side of the equation while the other side does the same thing on their side. That leads to stalemate, and I don't see anything productive coming out of it. I think we should basically try to persuade people, and I think they're there.
Yeah, and then what do you do if the election is stolen, though? Here he says these agencies, they do need some reform. But Chris Wray, and he said in the previous clip, that Chris Wray and everyone around him, so the leadership, basically. No, there's no problems. There's no problems. No, they're patriots. They're patriot. Well, what about, I mean, don't even get me started on the questions that you could ask him. There's no politically motivated acts from these agencies, or at least not now? Listen to what he says here about the attacks and who this ultimately goes up to. I mean, this actually is, again, a good reminder of the fact that it's not even just the FBI. That's like the armed enforcement of the Department of Justice. And, of course, over that, you've got Merrick Garland. One last clip from Attorney General Barr, clip three.
Well, the first thing is, I think a lot of the attacks on the FBI are over the top because a decision like this is not going to be made by the FBI. And in fact, I don't think the FBI would come and pound the table pushing a decision like this. In this kind of situation, the decision that it's best to go in and search and obtain those documents after being jerked around for a year and a half, and that's the way the department would look at it, would be made at the Department of Justice.
Okay, so he's right that it comes from the higher-ups at the DOJ. It comes from Merrick Garland. But he says there, notice he says the attacks on the FBI. It's the FBI being attacked. The FBI goes right into Donald Trump's compound, ransacks the place, and it's the FBI. This is a conservative, supposedly. This is a rhino, a Republican in name only. There he is talking about the FBI being attacked. He says he's just getting sick and tired of the right constantly pandering to outrage. And look at what the radical left is getting away with at the moment. They're calling the other side, half the country, fascists. They're itching for conflict, armed conflict. They're triggering as best they can. They want to trigger a civil war. If you think that's preposterous, look at what they did on January 6th. Look at how they infiltrated that protest. That constitutional protest, the constitutional allows for it. The Constitution protects it, the right to speak out, the right to protest. And they filled it with all kinds of actual insurrectionists from the FBI, from the DOJ, from Antifa, because they wanted violence. They wanted a riot. They wanted what they could call an insurrection nonstop for the rest of time. Again, so many of these previous events, even if they're on a smaller scale, whether it's the Whitmer kidnapping case, the cover-up of Hunter Biden's laptop, or the infiltrators there on January 6th, it shows, it reveals their true intent, their motivations. It's like my father says in the article from 2018, what they're willing to do to hold on to power. Now, just coming back to this affidavit, it was referred to in that little montage from Jesse Waters. But listen to this former, you know, the, it came out Friday, I guess. It had all these redactions, and then you get into the funny memes on Twitter, people just mocking it, making fun of the fact that, oh, this is the 38-page document, and there's no information that you can actually even look at. So it's easy to just dismiss it and say, well, what in the world? What can we do? how much can we know if this is how much is redacted? But there is a little information on there, and this is a former Trump attorney explaining what he sees as the significance of this redacted affidavit, clip four.
The Presidential Records Act actually contemplates that former presidents have classified records. It doesn't differentiate. Congress gives former presidents office space, secure office space. They give the former president's staff security clearance and Secret Service protection to guard these paper records. And there's no allegation that any of these records got into the wrong hands, unlike Hillary Clinton's home server, where she had foreign governments hack the most highly classified secrets in our government, and she didn't get an FBI raid. So what was so urgent that caused the Biden Justice Department to go get these records? And I think it's because President Trump declassified and made personal his copy of the Crossfire Hurricane records, the Russian collusion records, and the Biden Justice Department never made them public because they're so damning on Obama, Hillary Clinton, the FBI, and the intel community.
Yep.
So that's not as much about the affidavit itself as I thought it would be, but it certainly gives you some behind-the-scenes detail as to the motivation behind it. They were worried. Satan fears being exposed the most. My father's made this point numerous times in his writings over the years. This is what he fears. We were right up close and personal with this during the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. They didn't want to be exposed as the liars that they were. As the lawless actors they were, those people we fought with in court back in 1999, 2000, up through 2003. And here you see the same playbook, really. All right, we're about to be exposed, so we got to go on the attack and really destroy these people. They're semi-fascists, after all. This is a fascist movement. And it's not just Trump. It's Trump supporters as well. Listen again to this former counselor for Donald Trump, clip five.
The librarians are asking for overdue copies of the overdue books that they're not overdue. The president has the legal right to declassify these records and keep a personal copy. They did. The former president had every right to keep these records, and the bureaucrats at the archives did not, as confirmed by the 1988 Supreme Court decision, Department of Navy versus Egan, and the 2012 Judicial Watch case against President Obama with the tapes in his sock drawer. They can demand them all they want. And the question you have to ask is, okay, so they're demanding these records, and Attorney General Merrick Garland leaked that he was deliberating for weeks on whether to order this home raid before he went to a biased judge, Bruce Reinhart, down in Florida, who just recused from President Trump's civil lawsuit versus Hillary Clinton because of his 2017 Facebook post where he bashed President Trump's integrity. So if he had weeks to deliberate, why didn't Attorney General Merrick Garland get an opinion from the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel, or OLC? And the reason he didn't get it, presumably, is because he would not have gotten the answer he wanted. This was a political raid on a former president and someone who is almost certainly going to be
when
a political
enemy. When you say presumably, do you know that to be the case?
Of President Biden. They said that the attorney general didn't personally authorize this raid. He absolutely did. They also said that the Biden White House was not involved with this raid. They absolutely were, because White House Deputy Counsel to the President, Jonathan Suh, had to relay that President Biden waived President Trump's assertion of executive privilege, which paved the way for this raid. And so President Biden was absolutely involved in this raid, and so were his officials in the Biden White House counsel's office, Jonathan Suh. This is a political hit on a former president.
He's exactly right about this. And, of course, the Fox host, Sandra, I forget her last name, but she's doing everything she can to stick up for the establishment line. She's the one, by the way, after the election steal, who just looked at Trace and said, well, we called it. How could anyone criticize that Joe Biden got the presidency? These people, But there's some good background information there from, forget his name, but he used to be an advisor. I think it said he was an advisor or a clerk for Merrick Garland. Gorsuch. There we go, Gorsuch. One last clip. This is from Representative Brad Winstrup on Fox. That last clip talked about not consulting with attorneys at the DOJ. And then there's people in the House Intelligence Committee that are right to bring out the fact that nobody consulted with Congress either. It was just a political hit job. And, of course, it's leading to an indictment, most likely. And then if Lindsey Graham is right, you've got mass rioting. You've got the two sides pitted against each other. But just dialing back to this representative, his name's Brad Winstrup. This was on Fox over the weekend as well. Clip 8.
But let me say this about being a member on the Intelligence Committee. When this whole thing broke, if there's an issue of national security, we should have been informed as the representatives of the American people that are specifically on this committee and selected to be on this committee. We have oversight over the FBI, and we have jurisdiction, and we want to know the underlying justification and just follow the facts. That's all it's about. But instead, we're getting our information through media leaks. That's not how it's supposed to work. We have asked Director Wray for a brief, and so far we've done that formally, and so far we've heard nothing. And let's face it, the trust is not there. So anything we can do to enhance trust would be great, because after the Russian collusion hoax, after an inspector general even said that the FISA court was abused to spy on people that were part of the Trump team, after the fake dossier was proven false, and all the hypocrisy that came from Clinton having classified information on her server for destroying subpoenaed evidence, and James Comey saying, well, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute this. This is the problem across the board. The American people, to get to your question, the American people feel like they deserve honest answers, and they haven't been getting them for the last several years. This all seems to be coming from the top, and it's very disturbing. You know, you look back and you have John Brennan making comments now, and, you know, he hardly has a stellar record when it comes to his accusations against Republicans that prove to be false.
See, that's a congressional representative saying, well, it's a nice way of saying that there's no oversight, that there's no oversight of the DOJ and the FBI. If it was a case or a matter of national security, how come the House Intel Committee wasn't brought into it before the raid? If there were nuclear codes involved, how come it was something that Merrick Garland thought about for weeks and weeks and weeks? If it's just something about records for an archives, why not give a subpoena? See, none of it adds up. And yet here comes the New York Times over the weekend saying Trump's not above the law. If Merrick Garland has the goods, there better be an indictment. The New York Times leading the way. They lead the news cycle, and all the talking heads follow. They want conflict. They want war. They're declaring war. And here's people like Bill Barr coming out and saying, you know what, these attacks on the FBI, it's really upsetting to me, because you have Republicans that are, you know, trying to pander to the outrage. Well, war is coming, whether they try to act as if it's better to surrender to the other side, to surrender to these demonic forces. If they believe it's not, there's nothing here to do except to just try to compromise. Well, that's a pathway to destruction for sure. When we come back, it seems like every day in our notes, we've got a section on the vaccine, all of the vaccine injuries and side effects. It is starting to get a little more attention than it did last year, which is good. But because of the attack, the communist attack on America, it is, in a sense, it's part of the attack. They weaponized COVID as well, this demonic movement, these communist infiltrators. But it always just seems to get pushed to the bottom of my notes. So when we come back, we'll use the last few minutes to get into some of the latest stories on the vaccine and how it's hurting so many people. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet daily. If you'd like to submit some email feedback to the show, you can write us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
As I said, I did a viral appearance this week on my podcast. I told people getting the vaccine when I did was a great regret of mine. I had cancer at the time. I wish I would have just waited for some more data, but it happened. Is there evidence out there of immune system impairment linked to the vaccine? And when are you, can you be confident you're in the clear if you've got the vaccine that you're not going to get any side effects? Is it a year, 18 months?
What we know now is that the messenger RNAs in the body, at least for a few months, spike protein for about a year, and it should take some time to clear it out, probably a year or more. But 85% of people who take the vaccines have no problems whatsoever. About 15% do, according to a recent Zogby survey. Right. So if you're in the 85%, Dan, and you're past a year, you should be good.
Doc, you put me at ease there. I really appreciate it. That's why we have you on, actual medical experts on the show.
15% suffer from some kind of vaccine injury, maybe even death. And this commentator, that's Dan Bongino, he's a conservative. He regrets getting the vaccine. He had cancer at the time. His doctors recommended that he get it because, I guess, with the comorbidities and such, he was more vulnerable to the COVID strike. So he got the vaccine. Now he regrets it. And then there's Peter McCullough reassuring him that, look, only 15% suffer from these vaccines. Only 15%. You see how the goalposts. And again, both of these commentators have actually uttered some pretty sensible things about the vaccine in recent months. But as far as the goalposts being moved, I mean, look at where we are. Can you imagine 5 or 10 years ago, someone coming out with a vaccine saying, yeah, there's only going to be some deadly side effects for maybe 15%. Then I'll stay away from it. And my answer is no. Count me out. But here's a commentator who's relieved. He's relieved that he's got an 85% chance that there won't be some kind of violent reaction that his body has to this drug. This experimental vaccine. This is from Alex Berenson, by the way. Speaking of the number of deaths from all causes in Israel. Now, that's important, remember, because in little Israel of the Middle East, they really led the way in the vaccine mandates and making sure everybody got the jab, right? Berenson says, no country used mRNA COVID shots earlier or more aggressively than Israel. 2 years later, listen to this. Deaths from all causes have been higher every month in 2022 in Israel than any year since 2017. So more deaths from all causes. And this is perfect because it's just a little nation of 8 million people. So you can analyze the stats right across the board. No problem doing that. And what do the statistics show? That you have more Israelis dying this year than you did last year. And then you did in 2020. That's when the COVID pandemic struck. So what is going on? Well, you know what's going on. It's not that the vaccine, I mean, Peter McCullough is right. Not everybody reacts to it the same way. But when you just step back and look at deaths from all causes, and what's one thing that's changed dramatically, significantly in the past year? Well, all of 2021, you've got vaccines. Vaccines for the COVID. You've got mass jabbing going on last year and this year. And so far in 2022, every month in Israel, they've had more deaths from all causes than any other month since 2017, it says. They are 15% above the 2017 to 2020 average. And then Alex Berenson says, if this is mRNA success, I'd hate to see failure. Alex Berenson, I mean, this is the guy that Twitter wanted to ban and censor because they couldn't have him talking about vaccine side effects or vaccine injuries. So they just blotted him out. Well, now and look at the statistics coming out from Israel. And look, it's the same here in the United States. But these government agencies, you know, look at what they've been so politicized. They'll find a way to cover it up. I've even told you before, just trying to get to the statistics at the CDC regarding deaths from all causes. I mean, you've got to be a brain surgeon just to be able to find it. They're certainly not going to come out and trumpet it out there. You just have a few voices like Peter McCullough and some others. This is regarding the CDC, by the way. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, the FDA and vaccine makers say they are confident that shots targeting Omicron subvariants will work safely August 28, 2022. This is from, I guess, yesterday. That's the date. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to authorize new COVID-19 booster shots this week without a staple of its normal decision-making process, data from a study showing whether the shots were safe and worked in humans. So no data, but the drug's coming out. Hooray! Hooray! And when we find out 2 years later that, well, there are only 15% that suffered from side effects, bad side effects, life-threatening side effects. It says here, the shots modified to target the latest versions of Omicron variant won't have finished testing in humans when the FDA makes its decisions. It says instead the agency plans to assess the shots using data from other sources, such as research in mice, the profiles of the original vaccines, and the performance of earlier iterations of boosters targeting older forms of Omicron. So the FDA is confident. This is where we are now. This is science. This is the science. The FDA says, we haven't really done all the tests and trials, but that's okay. We're confident. We've done it in a few mice. So we're good to go. Everybody get the jab. Well, more and more voices, like Dan Bongino, are beginning to speak out, saying, I shouldn't have done it. I regret doing it. Sadly, the corporate media, they're not going to play those stories. Not that loudly, anyway. Fauci's made the rounds. He's retiring because he doesn't want to be investigated, as he knows he will be if Republicans gain control. He gave this interview with Neil Cavuto last week. We didn't have time to get to it, but you can listen to this short montage, clip 14.
So, Doctor, when the Wall Street Journal took a look at states that locked down and states that didn't lock down nearly so much and concluded, we now know that states that locked down fared no better and sometimes worse than those states that didn't. What do you think of that?
You know, I really question those data, Neil. I'm sorry. There are many people who statistically looked at those data and disagreed with that.
Looking back at some of those decisions, including masks, you were first opposed to them, then you embraced them, the severity of the epidemic itself and completely shutting down virtually the entire American economy. Do you regret particularly the last one, the shutdown, the sweeping shutdown that some said made things worse?
No, I don't, Neil. And in fact, I think we need to make sure that your listeners understand I didn't shut down anything. And the record will show, Neil, that we didn't recommend shutting everything down. We wanted to cause a pause to remember the terminology to flatten the curve.
But in retrospect,
and
Doctor,
we did that
do you regret
we...
that it went too far, whatever your original intentions were? And it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback here, but that it went too far, that particularly for kids who couldn't go to school except remotely, that it's forever damaged right. them.
Well, I don't think it's forever irreparably damaged anyone, but I think obviously, and you, if you go back and people selectively, Neil, pull things out about me.
About me, as you would expect him to say. That's what it's always about with him. About me. He said there that the lockdowns doesn't even have any adverse effects on children. He can't even bring himself to admit that. He's asked, do you regret the lockdowns? He says, no. And in the very next sentence, he says, oh, and I didn't lock anything down. What? You don't regret something that you never did? I don't regret the lockdowns. And by the way, I never ordered a lockdown. And then, of course, you could go to all the statements where he's out there pushing and pushing and pushing for it. It's amazing. It's amazing what these experts have done to their nations, the damage, the great damage that they have caused. And there's a story, I haven't had time to get to it either, from Politico, where they're positioning themselves to blame Donald Trump because they know that statistics like what's happening in Israel, notice too his beef with the data, they try to cover it up, if it exposes their nefarious activity. But then if they can't cover it up, they just come out and say, well, I don't agree with the data. Is that what you're going to say about Israel? There's more deaths by all causes this year than there was in 2020? Can that even be possible? Well, Neil, I'm not sure I agree with that data. I don't think that many Israelis have died. I mean, that's the level of delusional thinking you see coming out of these experts. This is the story from Politico. It says, Trump White House exerted pressure on FDA for COVID-19 emergency use authorizations. Oh, so Trump now, he was the one pressuring. He, before, 2 seconds ago, remember, it was all of corporate media cheering the fact that this was at warp speed. I mean, this happened faster than, and it's a miracle drug. It's a miracle drug that the manufacturers, by the way, they held off the distribution of until after the election. They didn't want Donald Trump getting the credit for the drug, the vaccine. And now here they're saying, you know what, Trump pushed. Trump pushed for the vaccine. It says here, White House attempts, well, let me just read the whole sentence. It says, the Democrats' investigation also documents potential influence from former White House officials regarding the FDA's decision to authorize convalescent plasma and White House attempts to block the FDA from collecting additional safety data on COVID-19 vaccines in order to get them to the public before the 2020 presidential election. So here the vaccine manufacturers, they held it off as long as they could because in their battle with Trump, they didn't want him to get the credit. Now here comes Politico. They're a pretty big mouthpiece of the radical left. Here comes Politico saying, you know what, actually, we're finding out now that the Trump people were pressuring. They were pushing to try to get the vaccine out before the election, which may or may not be true. But here they are now, just getting into the blame game. And certainly Donald Trump bears some responsibility for this vaccine, for not controlling Anthony Fauci, for not intervening and say, forget these lockdowns. This has got to stop. You see just how much power these deep state bureaucrats have had for decades now, how actively they worked against Trump, all things Trump, whether it's the FDA, the CDC, certainly as we're seeing more recently, the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, all of them, CIA, all those CIA officials that signed off on the document saying that the laptop was Russian disinformation. Is that really the lengths that they're willing to go to preserve their hold on power? That's right. America Under Attack exposes it all. Call our operators. Get your own free copy. Newly arrived from the printer just a few days ago, 1-866-930-3776. 3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.